This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
This morning, we are talking to Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim, the president of the Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce and former chief executive of Johor Corp, who retired in 2010 after 30 years of service. Tan Sri, welcome. Before we talk about your valuable work at the Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce, Tan Sri, your years at Johor Corp were very significant. They were at once colourful, rich with anecdotes. And since leaving, you've been very public with your views on not only political interference, but also interference from the Johor royal family.
Yes, well, that has been a concern in Malaysia. And this has been affecting our business performance. And it's a culture that needs to be changed.
When I say a culture needs to be changed, I'm referring to people who are just allowing it to go on. Particularly when you use the term interference. We do respect our institutions, like the royalty, and we know the role of the government and so on and so forth. But the danger is when the interference reach up to a level when it will affect business performance. It will also affect, for example, decisions made at the highest level, allocation of resources and so on. It affects efficiency. It affects economic growth generally. And that's when I think that the business and industry will have to stand up and do something about it. Yeah.
When Johor Corp was in the midst of taking QSR and KFC private,
yes,
you wrote in a very public letter that was widely distributed on the internet that your, and this is quote unquote, your greatest concern is that fancy schemes such as this, apparently flown in by supermen, will diminish Johor Corp's existing robust corporate integrity. Who are these supermen?
Well, Chuang, I even wrote a book about supermen. I call it Khalifah Ganti Superman in Malay, which means Khalifah as a concept to replace Superman. And when I say Superman, I'm referring particularly to the crass kind of capitalism, the ugly side of capitalism, and those who champion it. The supermen are those who championed it. And since capitalism today, particularly as it applies to business, to corporations, started, initiated by the West, the way it is known today, and globalized by the West. So perhaps most apt symbol, that's what I refer to them as supermen.
Well,
the ideas are initiated by the West.
Well,
and the
Superman, as I understand it, Tan Sri, is he's impervious to bullets. He flies in the sky. He has a red cape. What's he got to do with what you did in Johor?
Well, if you talk about Malaysia, there are many supermen too today who flies high, who wields power and sometimes absolute power, who wields extreme power, power beyond imagination, power beyond the reach of the ordinary people. And who also expects, unfortunately, for that ordinary people cannot come up to their level, just simply who treat ordinary people, average Malaysians, perhaps as passengers, as spectators. And that's unbecoming of a country which is changing very, very fast, particularly among the young generation of Malaysians. We need them to come up to the level of determining their own future. And therefore, the control of the mechanism of power by only a few, which I categorize as supermen, is intolerable. I don't think we should allow it to go on.
Well, let's get into the specifics. There are two broad categorizations of supermen in your definition.
Yeah.
The royal family could be one.
Yeah.
The politicians could be another.
It could be. The most important thing, Chuang, that I'm referring
examples?
To.
Specific
most important
examples.
Thing that I'm referring to are people who are in a position of power and who wields power absolutely, in a sense. You know, it doesn't matter whether they're politicians, they come from the Istana or whatever. It's a breed, a group of people who wields power, and sometimes it is not entirely their fault. It's our fault, as Malaysians, for example, for allowing them to wield power. Sometimes it's not even in the constitution. Constitutionally, nobody is provided with that absolute power in Malaysia, whether politicians or from the Istana.
In your 30 years at Johor Corp,
yes,
give us one example of when these so-called supermen interfered in your business.
Well, so far as when I was a CEO for the majority of the period that I was a CEO, there was no problem. There was a sultan, of course. There was a Menteri Besar. There was a politician. The situation was the same, except that at that point of time, there was no... The keyword that you used was interference. There was no interference directly in the affairs of government when I was the CEO for 30 years. It is only when I want when I was about to retire that there was a shift in the situation, and that shift happened not only at the Istana level. More importantly, it's also because the political leaders who actually constitutionally wield the power succumbed to it, allowed it to happen. And in a sense, therefore, the political climate changed in Johor in particular and degenerated into a situation where I thought it was no more suitable for me to perform as a CEO of a government-linked corporation in Johor.
What was the trigger? What was the event that triggered your resignation?
Well, the main thing was I was at the last board meeting. There was a board meeting on the 28th of July. And
2010.
And I was about to retire. I had submitted my proposal for retirement with a view of perhaps extending my service in an advisory capacity. And my contract was to end at the end of 2010, December 31st. And obviously, 6 months before that, I had to put in my notice and for the contract to perhaps either a renewal contract or the termination of contract. And I was well prepared for a termination contract. But before that contract ended, during that board meeting, the board decided to appoint a committee to manage, management committee to manage the transition, which is well and good. It's expected. I was looking forward to it. The only difference was that I was not to be a member of that management committee. And as a result, I had therefore to put in immediate the letter of resignation.
Tanshri, the flip side of the coin was that you came under a barrage of criticism as well from your detractors. They say that you were overpaid, you invested in too many harebrained schemes, you piled on too much debt at Jacob level.
Yes, I was overpaid, for example. Take that case. You know, perhaps I was the highest paid public servant as a chief executive for GLC in Johor Corporation.
But was that not true?
Well, insofar as if you benchmark it against the government salary scheme, of course. But if you benchmark it against any other corporate enterprise of the size that Johor Corporation was, we had 280 companies, 65,000 employees, and 8 of our companies were listed on the stock exchange. And if you compare it with the CEOs of public listed companies, and
for example, Tanshri,
was no match at all.
You attempted to invest in, for example, a deer farm. You had thousands of deer flown in from New Zealand on a charter plane.
We invested in many things at that point of time.
That not an extravagant use of public funds?
First of all, it was not public funds. It was not public funds. We didn't have a single cent provided by the government. There was no grant at all. Neither was there loan given by the state government. We, at the peak of our borrowing, when we first started, we were largely dependent on the government financing, federal government financing in particular. And they were all loans which we were paid back. And at the peak, we borrowed 350 million ringgit. But the bulk of the borrowing was from the banks, from the commercial banks. And we owed 40 banks. And by that time, it exceeded 3 billion ringgit. Now, we had to come up to that level simply because how else do you finance our corporate growth and expansion when you don't have shareholders' funds coming in?
We are talking this morning to Tanshri Muhammad Ali Hashim, the president of the Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce and former chief executive of Johor Corp, retiring in 2010 after 30 years of service. After this, some more of your challenges and criticisms as well as your concept of business jihad. We are talking this morning to Tanshri Muhammad Ali Hashim, the president of the Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce and former chief executive of J-Corp, retiring in 2010 after 30 years of service. More of your detractors' claims, Tanshri, and yes, in terms of the debts that you placed Johor Corp under, when I see the 2010 numbers, you had nearly 5 billion ringgit of, in fact, 4.2 billion ringgit of assets, of debt versus 5 billion of assets. And just... Yes. I think at the time, just about 99 million ringgit of after-tax profit. So clearly, these are numbers which are obviously very skewed in terms of the debt encumbrances.
Yeah, in the first place, we were not established with shareholders' funding.
Apparently, J-Corp was technically insolvent at the time. That was the claim.
Well, not really. No, we were, at that point of time, even during the crisis in 1998, you know, we were brought over. We had a detailed financial restructuring kind of subscribed to by the banks as well. And we refinanced everything through bank refinancing program. And as a result, the reason why the banks continue to support us was agreed. We were highly leveraged, highly geared, but we also had very good, strong core businesses, market leaders, some of them, and in particularly in the form of our market leadership position in KPG Healthcare, which today is one of Malaysia's market leaders in healthcare, and as well as strong companies like Kulim. And of course, by that time, after the crisis, we also were successful in acquiring perhaps one of Malaysia's most hostile corporate acquisitions, acquiring KFC and QSR. And these are good, solid companies with strong fundamentals. And that means we had a stable of very, very good assets and good businesses. And the only problem is, of course, at that point of time, we were largely borrowing long term to finance short term borrowing short term to finance long term investments.
So in other words, Tan Sri, some misses, some hits. For example, the misses with the DFM, some hits, of course, with KPJ. But you're going against the politicians and the royal family, going loggerheads against them.
Not really. I wouldn't say that. What I'm saying is, we were running a business, and business have to run on a commercial mode purely. And obviously, when you run on a full commercial mode, when you talk about running efficiently, managing assets to the best of your ability, you know, generating
profits,
you are bound to go against some of the wishes and whims and fancies of the political agenda. That cannot be helped in running a government-owned business.
One of those candidates that might qualify to be Superman is was the then Johor Menteri Besar.
I'm not referring to any particular person, Chuang. I'm referring to people who are in a position of power, who wields power, but are detached from the realities of, for example, running a business. Superman only flies high, flies extremely high.
Citing the former chief minister of Johor, who is now the chairman of Sime Darby, whereas yourself, as I understand it, not a director or a chairman of any other PLCs, does it?
Well, I was chairman of the other PLCs, but not
at
of the
time.
Yes.
Yeah, but since retirement, no. Yeah. And you only post now. I think it's okay. I'm not the chairman of Qamis.
I have no trouble with that. Not being, for example, as you perhaps trying to lead to, not being, for example, appointed to be chairman of other companies and so forth. Because you must understand, I resigned from Johor Corporation, and it was a deliberate choice. It was my decision at that point of time, because I didn't want to go on under a situation where the climate has changed and I cannot run the business as a CEO as effectively as I did before, because the powers of a CEO were no more given as before. The climate has changed. And once the situation changed, I know that I couldn't do as well as I did before without the full authority given to me before. So that was a decision why I didn't, I decided not to continue.
Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim, the president of Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce and former chief executive of JCorp, retiring in 2010 after 30 years of service, with us on The Grill this morning. The question I think we were alluding to in the prior questioning was basically, Tan Sri, the fact that now you no longer have high-flying corporate positions, which I think is in a very, very Malaysian scenario, is a reward for years of allegiance to the establishment.
It's okay, because if it is a reward, if it is a reward, it has to come from others. It's not from you. So to me, I was prepared already. I was fully prepared to retire, and I wanted to play this role that I'm in now, which is to serve through an NGO like the Malaysian Islamic Chamber of Commerce, and I'm quite pleased with that. Yeah.
Your investee at the time, Kulim, now selling New Britain Palm Mall to Sime Darby. Yes. That's a crown jewel, if there was ever one. Does it answer criticisms debt that you built up in JCorp has resulted in the sale of a crown jewel?
No, the debt has to be managed. At that point of time, when I was there, even before I left, we already had on a list of companies to be sold.
Would to stay in Kulim as well as then therefore JCorp?
If you could, you want to retain everything. You want your cake and eat it as well. But when it comes to the crunch, you know, we were also, when I was there, I was prepared also. One of the options was also to consider selling Papua New Guinea. It's a question of having priorities. And it's a question of whether you can have other options. The best is if you don't have to sell any of your assets.
If you had not built up that amount of debt in JCorp, you would not have that to sell off New Britain palm oil.
Well, there are other ways. You can talk to the banks. You can restructure your loans and so on. And particularly if the banks have faith and confidence in your future. If today you are hard-pressed to sell assets, for example, the jewel in the crown, as you call it, the New Britain palm oil, it's perhaps because they were not able to manage, not able to come up with other better options for Johor Corporation's future. But as I said, during my time, even it was already on the list in the event that we couldn't find any other choice. But at that point of time, my aim was to explore other possibilities, as I said, including going back to the bank and restructuring and refinancing in through other ways.
We find
because you don't have to pay all your $5 billion loans back in one go. You can talk to the banks and arrange to stretch the repayment.
Yeah. Well, we find it very hard to believe that Jacob, as well as advisor as it is, cannot arrive at some kind of optimal financing structure with the banks, and they have to resort to selling a key asset within the state.
Well, that is a decision taken by the existing management. I don't have comments on that. You may have to interview them on that issue.
So you are now back in the world with this idea of a business jihad, which of course is a term that you coined back in the day with Jacob.
Yes.
So that is reflective of your mantra. With what is going on, what is going wrong with
Malaysia?
Well,
it's not just a mantra, it's a firm belief. You know, I mean, the position is this. I mean, it is really, when you use the term like jihad, it is an Islamic term. And look at the situation of all the Muslim communities all over the world, Muslim countries, Muslim people. We have a serious challenge today. The bulk of the world's biggest problems today are generated particularly in Islamic countries in terms of the violence that leads towards to terrorism and so on and so forth. And fundamentally, if you ask me, of course, the issues at the root of these problems are extremely complex. But fundamentally, most of all, I think, is related to economic fundamentals because by far and large, Muslim communities are everywhere are mired in poverty. They are being badly treated even by their own governments all over the Muslim world. We are much better here in Malaysia. But in some other countries like Iraq, Afghanistan and so on, Egypt and so on and so forth, you know, most of the young people, hundreds and millions of them are unemployed today. Even young graduates, for example, in Egypt, in Syria, wherever, they find it difficult to find a good job. And not to talk about the average man on the street. So they are faced with extreme poverty. And if you solve, you're able to tackle that poverty problem, then you should be able to find a better solution. And today, the best way to overcome poverty is definitely to run a fully business-driven economy, to get the businessmen and entrepreneurs to be in the forefront, providing the solution.
Some say that booming entrepreneurs in this country are burdened by ideas of subsidy mentalities,
yes,
by licensing, by middlemen.
Well, I fully subscribe.
Who add very little value in the process.
I fully subscribe to that.
Would you agree?
I fully subscribe to that. And I also take the view that there is no harm to start with in providing the facilities, the subsidies, and so on and so forth. The only problem is when the subsidies start to be sustained for too long a period, when people are spoiled by subsidy and only can become so dependent on subsidies. And that has to stop. And this is why the concept of business jihad, Chuang, you will realize that it is supposed to bring in, we just cannot afford to do more of the same. It's supposed to instill a new source of energy and drive for Malays and Muslims to solve their own problems through their own pulling up their socks and through their own bootstraps. And this is what is needed. And we therefore need corporate business leaders who have the spirit of a business jihad, meaning a spirit of enterprise, to serve common good, higher cost. Business must serve a higher cost and for the common good of the people. And business jihad also means that we do not want wealth to be concentrated in a few hands. And for example, this is what we see is happening in Malaysia. We are simply all of us jumping onto the capitalist bandwagon. I have nothing fundamentally against capitalism. For the last 30 years, I've been subscribing to ideals of capitalism by growing Johor Corporation. But surely at some point of time, we all must realize that the over-concentration of wealth in a few hands is extremely dangerous.
Some might say, Tan Sri, that the preservation of the patronage system does not make it conducive for the booming entrepreneur
Agreed.
To take the hard road ahead.
Agreed fully.
Why should he try and break his back and sweat and toil. I fully subscribe to that. Yes. When he can just easily
What is the alternative, therefore? You see, because when you talk about entrepreneur development, you want to inculcate the spirit of enterprise in people. We always talk in terms of technology, in terms of capital, in terms of... But there is also another dimension to it, the psychological, emotional, and the cultural sides of it.
What is your sense of the Bumi psyche today, Tan Sri? Are things changing, or is there a desire to continue with the status quo?
This is the danger. We see today that we are going to do more of the same, because the government, those who are in the wielding the levers of power and so on, the planners and including the bureaucrats who run the country, they're only using the same instruments to try to solve a problem, and it has already, it's so obvious, you cannot resolve these issues by doing more of the same. So we need to change mode, to change tech, to change gear, to change the whole vehicle. And this is why in the Islamic Chamber of Commerce, we came with the idea of a business jihad to transform the economic structures fundamentally. Even in terms of ownership, for example, we came up with the idea of a corporate wakaf institution. Why do we use Islamic terminology? It sort of alienate and sometimes frighten people. When you talk about business jihad, means some corporations may be thinking that I'm here to blow up their businesses and so on and so forth. You know, business jihad means is a jihad through peace and prosperity.
Tantri, how much longer do you think the status quo can go on for?
Well, it depends on the political will around. It depends.
Do you think there is political will?
Well, it's up to the people. I think the people are beginning to realize that they finally have the last say.
Do you get the sense that rural Malaysia believes in these principles?
Well, rural Malaysia is less important now in terms of weight in political terms. Urban Malaysia is becoming much more stronger. And even there has already been a huge shift of even Malays from rural to urban sectors. So it is the urban voters and so on that count. Although for the moment, rural constituencies still, by far and large, is an important component. But even the rural sector is going to change because young Malaysian, in particularly Malays who came from the rural areas, will definitely be going back to their kampongs and so on. And they are going to be a force to be reckoned with because they are going to change the whole mindset of people, even in the rural areas.
Tan Sri, it was a great pleasure chatting. Thank you for spending
time
with
us. Thank you very much,
John. That was Tan Sri Muhammad Ali Hashim, the president of the Malaysian Islamic Trade Hall and former chief executive of Johor Corp, retiring 4 years ago after 30 years of service. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.